Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Patriots Friday on WEEI is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market and by FindMassMoney.gov. Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
How you feel about Belichick? Would you talk to him? You interact with him daily, or is it like a, you know?
I like coach player. I like him a lot, for real. Like, cause he's real honest. Yeah. So like, he gonna tell you like if you f***ing up and if you not, and I can respect that. And then he knows every position. Like, Brett knows. From punt returner to running back to defensive end, he'll stop practicing and tell anybody like what they doing. And I ain't really never had that like from a head coach. Like if you like as a, I feel like as a rookie,
that's invaluable to have as a coach.
As a rookie, ain't no better place to go to than the Patriots. Like it's gonna be work, it's gonna be hard, but it's gonna really set you up for like the rest of your career in the league because you're gonna have that foundation that the Patriots kind of set for you.
Correct.
KJ and Lyons in for Jones and Keith. Thank you so much for hanging out in WEEI. Remember, the Odyssey app is free, AUDACY. Type in WEEI, actually save it. It also has a talkback feature. You can hear past episodes of this show, and you can rewind what back in the show of anything that you missed. That's Keon White from about a year ago, John, talking about his excitement for playing for Belichick and just waxing poetic of the things that he's learning from Bill and what he's really grasping and absorbing as a rookie. And then the big story today, excuse me, we've just been talking about colds going around, is the statement that Keon White, and I'll let you expand further.
Yeah, there was multiple statements he kind of made. So Karen Garigi in Amass Live had the first story that I saw, and it was he basically said he needs to be better, especially as a run defender, but you could tell he wasn't that happy, and he's going to just see how the next couple of games go, and that it starts with him, but also him and the coaches and everyone and the players all have to be together on the same page. And then he had further comments I saw that Mike Girardi had on Boston Sports Journal that I actually found even more interesting and I really liked, where he said, there's no consolation prizes here. It's all about, do you win, right? There's no moral victories. So clearly he's unhappy, and you and I talked about this earlier. He's obviously, in my mind, a true Belichick guy, even in the modern age, right? From demeanor to how he approaches the game, he just wants to show up, play football, win, and go home. And that was the quintessential Belichick guy. Now, Belichick is gone. Obviously, the guy that drafted him, the guy that he praised in that clip you just showed, and the team is essentially the same. I mean, one win worse, but essentially the same. The defense is significantly worse, and I think you saw that frustration bubble over in these comments today with a couple weeks to go.
Now we're, what, 2 games left in the season, and now you can kind of get a bigger macro picture of what's been going on this season. If you said at the beginning of the season, at the end of the year, you're going to have a discussion about this defense, and I would say, why? A lot of injuries? What happened? Like, all these literally the same guys are here. They almost didn't go out and get anybody else, and in fact got rid of the one guy who you would have perceived to be the defensive leader coming back in a full season with Matthew Judon. But now at the end of the season, you almost wonder, did the defensive side of the ball feel like, because it was coming, remember I made the comment about the substitute teacher situation with Mayo, with some of these players treat him like the substitute teacher because he's always been around the guys, but now when he's in charge of them, they don't necessarily feel like this is a voice of authority. Look, the offense, I think, has done everything to prove themselves to try and be competent, considering the way it looked at the beginning of the season. If you go from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, and if you said, hey, the offense would feel a little more competent towards the end of the season, but the defense would feel less competent, you would say, wait a minute, don't you have that backwards? So does it feel like the defense, who's always gotten the praise when things were going bad these last few years, never really did the defense get stinked upon? In fact, they were kind of praised for keeping at least the games close. You mentioned earlier the Dietrich Wise, earlier Devin Gottschalk.
Yeah, last year after the Chargers game, where basically have to shut teams out to win. And that was a game they lost 6-0, by the way. So
now you're not seeing it anymore, right? You're seeing a Patriots offense that can get out and score early, can get early possessions, but then starting to see the defense give up, like, what was it, 4-6 plays that Buffalo ran?
Yeah, there was the 46-yard touchdown run. I think it was a 6 or 7 play drive to go 70 yards. Yeah.
And you would almost say, hey, if you, whatever semblance of last year's defense or mentality that would go on, you would feel it like even that series inside of them. Somewhere in that series, Buffalo at best gets a field goal. Worst case scenario, they get a field goal. If anything, they get a punt out of it, because now you're working with more than a 2-score lead, which this team was, that was never in the conversation about this team really since 2021. So the praise you're starting to hear about the team, if any, involves the offense, and the defense isn't being loved the way it used to be. Do you feel like maybe part of being able to be the scapegoat for the other sins of the team now is affecting the team, where they're kind of they're now the sins?
Well, and also, like, these defensive players are used to being good. Like, to your point, like, even last year, as bad as things were, Patriots got the worst quarterback play in the NFL on offense. Defensively, they were pretty good. They were top 10 in a lot of categories. They kept them in games throughout the entire season. So I think they're used to being good. There's frustration there. And also, think about the clip we just played at the beginning of this. Keon White talking about how New England's a great place to go for a rookie under Bill because he can coach any position, he can help anyone, all that stuff. Is Keon White right now a better player than he was a year ago or 6 months ago? And I don't necessarily think he is. I'm not telling you he's bad, but player development is a huge part of the whole operation, and especially with a young team. And I feel like Drake May has developed quite a bit, and he's gotten a lot better than he was in April, May, August, September, you name it.
But that's the headline for this team.
But you
been the issue over 3 years.
But you go around the rest of the roster, I can't really think of anybody that's a better player than they were a year ago. And I think that is a real concern. Like, alluding to those Keon White.
You realize what you just said there, right? Drake May does not factor in that because he was not here last year.
Yes.
Right? So Drake May has been the best piece this year in his first year in the midst of chaos, where you probably have to do a reevaluation of.
And their development of him has been really good.
Right. So, and that's in the middle of everything else being chaotic and bad, but not as chaotic as it was last year. Because think about it. 2 years ago, this is what, an 8-9 team?
Yep.
Right. Like
3 years ago, it was a 10-win team. Yeah.
Right. Well, but just get back to where the losing has been consistent outside of 2020. Right. So with the Patricia and Judge situation, those two were clearly the scapegoats. But that was a team that finished 8-9 last year. You were like, okay, what's going on here? But you brought in Bill O'Brien. It was supposed to get better, remember? And the team just kind of
got worse.
It got worse, right? And so I always thought it was the player, Mac Jones, more so than the personnel that they had in front of him. And then this year, we're having no conversation about the regression or the struggles or the competency issues of a rookie quarterback, which we were having the conversation about a second-year quarterback and a third-year quarterback, and would he be around for a fourth year? So those are out of the way, but at the same time, you have this change of an entire environment. And the environment has always been defensive-centric, led by a defensive head coach who's the greatest of all time. So literally, it's like, let's just say you're an engineered kid and you get to MIT. And when you get to MIT, you find out it's become, I don't want to use any college as a disparaging college, but let's say all of a sudden you find out it turns into a junior college. You're like, hey, I came here because of MIT's reputation, but now it's a junior college. It's a 2-year. What's going on here? That may be how some of these defensive players, both free agents who have come here and the ones who have been here historically, may feel like, okay, This feels like it's junior college and not the high level of education that we are expected to be part of.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to phrase it, right? Because especially defensive players came here knowing we're going to have the best defensive coaching in the entire NFL. And obviously this year it hasn't been the same level. And like I said, when you have a team that's this young, and it's important for every team, but especially a team that is this young, think of all the guys on this team that are in their first 3 years in the NFL. And I can look at one guy out of 53 and say, he's a better player than he was a year ago. He's a better player than he was 6 months ago. You can look at some of these guys. Like, I think Jalen Polk's gotten a little worse over the last 6 months. Javon Baker, no impact, really. Kendrick Bourne, inconsistent, minimal impact. Same with Douglas. But, like, some of these guys have even gotten worse. I mean, look at the secondary. I know some of it is Kyle Duggar got hurt. I get it. But he's not as good as he was a year ago. Christian Gonzalez is about the same. But right. Jonathan Jones, I love him, favorite player on the team.
You've just seen mistakes well. From players who were not error repeaters.
Jelani Tavai, not nearly as good as he was a year ago. And I know some of that's the Bentley injury, but still. Anfernee Jennings, even. Last week against Buffalo, arguably his worst game of the year on the edge in the run game. And I didn't think he was that great against Arizona. Good player, but just that's... When you look at this coaching staff, when you look at this scouting staff as well, too, not going to let them off the hook. When you have 53 guys on a roster, and I can sit here and say one of those guys is better than a year ago, that's a real concern. And I think part of that is where these Keon White comments come from. Because if you're Keon White, you flashed potential as a rookie last year. Then the first 2 weeks of this year, you had 4 sacks in 2 games. And since then, you have 1 sack, and you haven't been nearly as big of a factor, and you haven't really gotten better.
All right, KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. We'll talk to Tom Carroll next. We're in for Jones and Keefe, but right now it's time to trend with Joe Braver.
Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered with Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer. You're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Dan will talk to me about, like, I'll take any no moral victories from me. We're going to win. We're not winning in the sense of frustration. You sort of, like, balance that with, like, again, the hard work part of it works. If you just keep at it, maybe we'll get that.
Yeah, I think it's commendable, you know, for, you know, Keon to sit there and look in the mirror himself. And you have to be honest with yourself. I have to be honest with myself, and so do the rest of the coaches and players. And, you know, oftentimes that's very difficult. And, you know, going back to Keon, he recognizes that, and, you know, he's taking steps to get better for these last couple weeks of the season. That's doing extra work, that's doing extra treatment, extra, you know, extra in the weight room, all of those things. So hopefully we get the Keon that we all want to see here on Saturday.
KJ and Lyons in for Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Good Friday to you. Patriots Friday, Patriots game tomorrow. A lot of conversation regarding Keon White. We're about 30 seconds away from joining us, our Patriots insider Tom Carroll, a.k.a. Tommy Freeze Pops, to discuss some of the energy he's been seeing at these press conferences. But it's interesting because this is a team, John, that's been discussed saying, hey, look, we don't necessarily discuss players' names, but when they get asked by the press a specific name, they respond with that specific name and then apply it to the team. But do you feel like that affects some of the players when they are hearing their specific name being answered, you know, asked by the press, and then the coaches saying their specific name?
Oh, yeah, certainly. And I think some guys take it in different ways. Like we talked, a couple weeks ago where it was Kayshon Booty whose name was brought up and Mayo mentioned it specifically. Now Keon White. So some guys will take it as fair as motivation. Some guys won't like it. That's why some coaches, they'll just mention everybody's name. Some coaches will mention no one's name ever. So it's just, again, I think some guys will take it fine. Some guys won't. And you only find out, like, I feel like Keon White will probably take this, like his name being mentioned there. I don't think that'll upset him or make any more quotes than what he already gave us this morning.
All right, let's go ahead and join Tom Freeze Pops. Tom Carroll, thank you so much for hanging out with KJ and Lyons. Happy holidays to you. What's the vibe that you're getting as we get to this final stretch with this team between the coaching staff, some of the players? Clearly the comments from Keon White have sparked some type of discussion. We talked to Mike Onwenu yesterday, and he was very confident about the culture and the process that he's seen over the 4 years he's been here. What's been your take in terms of what you've been seeing as a member of the press?
So these guys definitely like playing for Mayo. There's no question about it. They always have his back. They're always saying nice things about him. You don't get the vibe in that locker room that these guys have like side eyes toward Mayo or that coaching staff. You know, Drake May made a point in his press conference to stick up for him and AVP. So that's its own thing. When it comes to the coaches, at least the interactions that they've had with media recently, and really I'm talking about Mayo, you can tell that he's sort of just done with us. Like at the beginning of the season, it was over-answering and oversharing and then having to walk things back and yada yada. And I'd say probably the last 2 weeks or so, a bunch of guys that have been covering the team for years brought this up, and I noticed it too. It just seems like Mayo is kind of like, okay, this season, it needs to end, and I'm going to stop putting myself in a position where I need to walk things back or saying too many things, because it's headaches that he doesn't need, clearly, when his team only has 3 wins with 2 weeks left in the season. So the players, they're bought into Mayo. Mayo, he's kind of checked out when it comes to media stuff. So I would be shocked. I guess I wouldn't be shocked because he's done it all season, but I'd be surprised if over these next 2 games, Mayo gives us something that he has to walk back. I think he's kind of done with that.
So, Tom, do you think that's a product of him learning from earlier season mistakes with the media, or is it just built up frustration with how the season has gone and he just wants to get everything over with because they're a bad team?
I think it's a combination. I think Gerard is a smart guy, so he has to realize at a certain point that the reason why these stories are becoming stories is because he's the one saying them, and he's the guy at the podium, and he's the face of the franchise. So at a certain point, that has to click for him and say, okay, if I stop doing that, it won't be a story. And I know that he was really keen on being sort of like the anti-Bill. So that's why you were getting sort of the open book and let's burn cash and all that stuff throughout the year. But to me personally, it feels like over the last 2 weeks, he's decided that that probably isn't the best course moving forward here. So I think it's him learning from his mistakes over the season. And look, there's probably part of him that is cool with saying, look, there's 2 weeks left and I'm sort of checked out on the season on that front. But, you know, there was the reporting from Diana Rossini the other day that says that the Crafts actually do want to make sure that Mayo is coaching really well over these next 2 weeks. His job isn't completely safe, too. So, you know, I don't think it's like he's mailing in these next 2 games. Like, he's going to go out there and coach his butt off to try and continue to save his job. Now, whether you think Mayo is the right guy for the job or is capable of coaching his butt off is another conversation for another day. But I think it's more a product of him realizing he'd been giving us too much and now he's scaling back.
So you're talking about, you know, Mayo being the face and the voice for the team. But I'm also starting to hear the comments, you know, like with Ladd McConkey coming to play against, and that's someone you could have had. Why does it seem like Elliot Wolf is not being held to the same fire or level of heat that Mayo's being held to when Elliot Wolf is not only the one who put this team together, but has seen several guys who he signed at the start of the year not even make it to week 12?
I'm totally with you on that, KJ. If there's one person that I think needs to be held most accountable for what this team looks like this season, it's Elliot Wolf. He completely failed in his first attempt in putting this team together. And I know that behind the scenes, there was the like interim-ish title that he had throughout the spring, and the team kind of waited, I think, until even after the draft to officially give him the title that he has. So maybe there was some weird stuff behind the scenes going on as they built this roster in the early part of free agency and leading up to the draft. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just trying to read the tea leaves and trying to figure out how they put a roster like this together and didn't expect it to be what it is. And I know that they've talked about on multiple occasions, look, we knew we were going to take our lumps, but I don't think that they thought it was going to be this bad and that they were going to look that lost throughout the season at various points. I mean, that game in Arizona is one of the more embarrassing performances I've seen from this team in the last 20 years or so, coming off a bye and just looking completely lost out there the way that they did. So I am with you, KJ. I think Elliot Wolf is the guy that should be getting the brunt of the blame. You know, Mayo, I don't think he's been great, but it is his first year, and I don't think this was the plan all along to have him get this job when he got it. The Crafts kind of backed themselves into a corner with that. So I guess you can put it a lot on the Crafts as well for putting them in this situation where they had to put Mayo in this job when he wasn't ready for this job. And then Elliot Wolf for building the roster the way he did, not getting a left tackle, not being able to put a receiver room together that has guys that can get separation and be consistent. There's all sorts of problems with this team, as we know. But yes, I'm with you. Elliot Wolf is the guy.
Tom, Chargers coming to town tomorrow. Just over a year ago, they came to Foxborough and they beat the Patriots 6-0. Now the Chargers obviously have Jim Harbaugh. They've been playing football a little bit different. They're not only better, but they've been running the ball much more. They're averaging 10 fewer plays overall per game, but also fewer passing yards, more rushing yards. From you being down there and talking to coaches and players on both sides of the ball, how different do they view this Chargers team as opposed to the one that came to Foxborough a year ago?
You know, like you said, John, this team coming into Foxborough tomorrow is very different. With that said, the Chargers are really banged up. I think Joe Braverman was saying it in his update there. The running backs are hurt. The tight ends are banged up. So the Chargers have been a lot better this season, and Harbaugh has clearly changed the culture. But I don't know that you're going to get the best version of the Chargers on Saturday. And I know that they've had like a mini bye, right? Because they played Thursday night last week, but they're still coming in banged up. And I actually think that Saturday is going to look closer to the ugly game that we saw last year where the Chargers came in and I think they only won 6-0. It was one of the worst football games I've ever watched in my life. I mean, I when that game ended, I looked at my wife and I'm like, I'm so sorry that I just made you watch that. That was atrocious.
Hey, they say couples that watch football together stay together, right?
Yeah. Well, that's another topic for another day. But it was a horrible game last year, and I don't think you're going to get the best version of the Chargers on Saturday. So I do think it will look ugly, and that obviously gives the Patriots a better chance of staying in this game when you're not going to be able to have Herbert at his best. So you know, we can talk about if Patriot fans want the Patriots to even win this game, given the way the draft is shaking out with so many bad teams in the mix. You know, a win here can really throw you way down that top 10. So I don't know. I mean, as a guy that covers the team, I'd like for it to be a competitive game. As a guy that wants the team to be a better team moving forward, I wouldn't mind if they had a pick closer to number one than 10. So I'm sort of in a weird spot.
So really here in New England, we're in a weird spot tomorrow because you've got North Carolina playing in the Wasabi Bowl at Fenway. At the same time, or really kind of as one game is coming towards its end and the other one is starting, the Patriots will be playing at Foxborough. We've had this discussion on the show here, and John and I, and maybe, I don't know, too many players haven't said so as much, but we think Keon White may be a leak into it. Do you believe that some of the players and some of the discourse that's been going on that we've seen on the field are that players are missing Bill Belichick's discipline?
I think that the man we miss Bill part of the year is probably long gone. Like, that's sort of in the past, right? Like, Mayo's the guy. Bill's not coming back.
And well, he'll be back tomorrow. He'll be in town tomorrow for sure. Yeah,
right. He'll be up in the press box. I'm sure he'll give a riveting 5 minutes on the broadcast. But Mayo is their dude. Like, the dudes like Mayo in that locker room. Well, you can say what you want about the way he's coached, but the players like him, and they like playing for him. I think the fact that he was a position coach and has been there for a few years, the veteran guys know him and have a relationship, and they want to play hard for him. So, yes, I know Keon White had those comments the other day, but I think that's, I think if Bill Belichick was the coach and this team was struggling, you'd get those same exact comments from Keon White. Like, that's the type of guy he is. And I know you guys were talking before I came on about, you know, Mayo mentioning specific players' names in press conferences and how that could impact certain guys. And I think John hit the nail on the head. Keon White is not going to be impacted by Jerod Mayo mentioning Keon White in a press conference. And White's name only came up because the reporter brought it up specifically. He's just a hard hat type of guy, like come in, punch the clock, do his work and get out. So, no, I think these guys are all in on Mayo, and whether the fans are is a different conversation.
Mm. Talking with Tom Carroll of WEEI.com. Tom, you also, besides Patriot stuff, you've done some BC football work this year. They have the Pinstripe Bowl tomorrow at noon. For those watching, any particular expectations for that game from you?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, bowl season's weird because they play their last game like a month ago. And then, you know, there's all the National Signing Day and the transfer portal stuff. So I'm really curious to see how BC responds. You know, they added Dylan Lonergan from Alabama. So, you know, he's obviously not playing tomorrow, but there's an expectation, at least from the people that cover the team, that Dylan Lonergan's going to come in and compete for that starting job in camp next year. So is the vibe going to be messed up with the momentum that they had with Grayson James to end the season? I don't know. I as someone that wants BC to be successful, I'd love for Bill O'Brien to get a bowl win in year one. But Nebraska is no easy out. And Raiola is one of the best exciting young quarterbacks in college football. I think he probably had a semi, we'll say, down year for what people expected him to be, you know, like young Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't that per se, but he is that guy that can be flashy. I'd love for Ezeraku to have a big game. Sack him a few times and really get that draft stock up. It'd be great to see Donovan Ezeraku go like high second, low first. Awesome pass rusher, had a great season, consensus All-American. So look for him to have a big game. He's just been dominant all season long. But I mean, like I said, the season for them ended a month ago, and now they got to play this game. So it'll be a good test to see if Bill O'Brien can have these guys locked in and play good football tomorrow at Yankee Stadium. I'm excited to catch it after the Patriots game. I'm going to DVR that one.
All right, Tommy Freeze Pops, we're not going to play you the music intro, the production intro, but we got a keep or return list here. Tell us if these are items you would keep or return.
Sure.
A free cross-country flight with no leg room.
Oh, I'm keeping that for sure. Flights are expensive. Got to take advantage. I'm a big guy anyway, so like yeah. any seat is
cross
already
country. You would do it from Boston to L.A. No leg room.
Yeah, I've done it actually from Boston
middle
to L.A.
Seat?
With
oh, no, way.
No leg room.
I've got to have that
on one
aisle
of those
seat.
Horrible airlines. Yeah, it was awful.
John, you got one on the list for him to keep a return.
So, Tommy, I have to ask you because I know you're a huge fan of Usher. I'm just making that up, but an unsigned sure. poster of Usher, would you keep or return that?
I'd probably return that. Yeah, if I have
so
the
would
gift
I
receipt,
so that's
yeah,
right.
I don't really have a need for an unsigned poster of Usher. No need for that.
Hey, I have a 13-year-old daughter. I have one in the house. Okay. Tommy Freeze Pops, would you keep or return a hairless cat?
I had cats growing up, but I'm not necessarily a cat guy. But I feel like returning a pet is kind of messed up, so I'd keep the hairless cat,
adoption.
Even though I wouldn't love
you,
it.
So you put it
I
up
just
for
think
adoption?
It's kind of a, I don't know. It feels weird to me. Once you have a pet, I feel like you're kind of stuck with the pet.
And okay, that's a push. That's a push. All right, John's got one, and then I've got one more for you.
Like it.
All right.
So, Tommy, I'm looking at this list here. I feel like you would be a big fan of an Xbox 360, right? You're going to keep that. You're not going to return that, right?
Sure. Yeah, I'll keep an Xbox. I don't really game, but man. I'd find a use for it. Sure.
An Xbox 360. What is this, 2010? Where you can play NBA 2K.
Tommy was really cool in 2010. He still is now, but especially 2010.
And finally,
much cooler in 2010.
And finally, Tommy, would you keep or return a signed picture from your high school guidance counselor?
No, return that. Didn't like my guidance counselor. Didn't really give me the guidance I was looking for. So
yeah,
no,
he said I would be good in manual work, and look at me running my mouth. Tommy Freeze Pops, Tom Carroll, part of WEEI.com, man. Have a great holiday season. Thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Thanks, guys. And you can hear me from 2 to 5 today with Dan Ball and Joe Wild.
Yes, looking forward to that.
Wait, so we actually have him working again?
He's the preview. We're giving him a little preview here.
There you go. All
right.
There you go. Well, enjoy after us. We'll see. What a tease that was. I had no idea that Tommy was going to be. Yeah, thank you so much. All right, get off now since we know that you're coming on in about an hour. Like, this guy's trying to stretch it past the quarter hour to get it onto the time card. We know what's up with that. So, but John, it's really interesting that Tom mentions that this team really is all in on Mayo as players. We heard you when you mentioned it. Now we could see from someone who's right there at the press corps who could really tell and see that these guys are all in form. So why do you feel like there's such... I'll tell you what. Well, let me ask you this, and then we'll answer it on the other side.
Don't eat your whole lunch before the next segment.
I'm not yet. Yeah, you're very... I say the same thing
to
you.
Right, Joe Braverman? Isn't that KJ's...
Yeah, that's what I say. Don't eat your whole lunch. So I'll tell you what. I'll answer this question when we come back. Why is there a disconnect between what the players enjoy out of Mayo and what the fans enjoy? That's next. KJ and Lyons in for Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Yeah. I enjoy Christmas music, but I can't wait when you don't have to play that stuff anymore. It's like, hey, you get back to some classic rock, some classic hip-hop mixed together, and then you got Jones and Keefe, KJ and Lyons in for them today. 617-779-7937 still to come. We've got to talk about why the Red Sox and the Alex Bregman and the Teoscar Hernandez conversation seem to just be so mum that it seems like us on the outside are seeming to have bigger conversations than it seems the teams are. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. But before we went to break, if you're just joining us, I'd ask John, after hearing these multiple stories, both from players firsthand and now from a member of the press who's in front of them, and pressers, why does there seem to be such a disconnect between the players who love Mayo and the fan base who doesn't? Why?
Results. They've won 3 games. Like, that's the biggest reason why. And I talked about player development earlier. You have one guy in Drake May who's better than he was a year ago. I can't really think of anyone else that's better than they were a year ago. So above all, it's results.
So if the team was much better, let's just say the team was a...
If they had 9 wins, no one would be complaining about Mayo's style.
Or would they say this isn't really Mayo as much as it is Belichick's guys?
Well, Belichick's guys last year won 4 games. So I think if they were winning 9 games right now, people would be talking much more about Mayo or much more positively about Mayo. And also Drake May would be a big part of it.
I think he would have gotten the Tyrone Willingham situation. You remember that at Notre Dame when Tyrone Willingham went in there after Charlie? I forgot the schedule. But the year that he came in and Charlie Weiss had just left, and I think they had a 10-win season that year, and the first thing they said was, these are all Charlie Weiss's guys. Despite guys,
which is could be true though, right? Like,
right,
and it's different.
It was going
though
to happen. So you don't get any credit if you're the first year guy.
And I think for a turnaround though, you would. Like, if the Patriots had won 10 games last year and Mayo came in and won 10 more, then they'd be saying what you were saying. But if they won 4 games last year, if he had come in and they were a lot better, I think he would get a lot of credit because of the turnaround factor.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, 617-779-7937. What do you have on the text line, Joe?
We're going to Twitch chat here, twitch.tv/Boston. Okay. WEEI. You guys asked about the gifts that Tom Carroll would potentially keep or return.
Yeah.
And you talked about the Xbox 360. Well, someone in the Twitch chat, $10 Shake, says that they still own an Xbox 360.
I just got rid of my Xbox 360. There is a little bit of remorse because I had like all the singing games and like, what was it, Rock Band and all those games. None of them are compatible with the new Xbox. Like, so, like the Xbox X. So the Xbox, I had a, what was in it, S before this, that I couldn't play some of the newer games on, so I had to go get, like, the updated one. But the Xbox 360, I just kind of hate, like, there's just such a few handful of games that you can play in terms of forward, backward compatibility.
And like, then on the old Xbox 360s, you'd randomly get that red ring of death and just have to buy a new system. That was the awe.
Did you do this?
That happened to me once.
I actually jimmy-rigged my first Xbox so that way I could run HDMI and still also run the HDMI audio. So you know how you used to have to choose one, but you couldn't do both? So I kind of like broke the back a little bit so that way I can run the HDMI cord out and still run the sound card where I can get like the full 5.1 stereo. So like, yeah, I remember
20 years ago and when I thought to myself, man, they can't do anything better than PlayStation 2. There'll be nothing better than this. And now my Xbox Series X, it's like I'm alive and in the game.
Well, if you're like me and still use and own your PlayStation 2.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you have a memory card for that?
You play Medal of Honor Frontline on that?
It takes up 8 kilobytes.
That's a classic game, by the way.
No, I just use them to like relive the old Tony Hawk games.
Oh, I got the updated. Did you play the updated version on that they remastered?
Yes, that was awesome. That was so good.
I played that on PlayStation 2, though.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like some of these systems, like I was looking for an Xbox 360 a couple days ago because. What was that called? A song called Lips? Because it had the songs where you could really sing along to the songs. I still have the Xbox 360 microphones that my daughter uses as pretend microphones around the house. I was like, man, I could put batteries in this thing, crank it up. I actually had I bought a second Xbox to put in another room when my wife was pregnant with our youngest daughter. And now I have like no Xbox 360s. And now I'm like on the hunt for one. So I would keep it if someone gave it to me. Here's some of the other things that we never got to. The list is, there's still things on this list, John. Well, that's one I'll stay away from. Let's see here. A dozen mystery chocolate chip cookies.
What does it mean by mystery?
Come on, brother. This is a dispensary state.
Oh, then no.
Yeah, you return those?
Yeah. Well, no, I'd give them to friends. I'd be popular.
Yeah, there you go.
What if you didn't know they were?
Who made the cookies? You know, then you look over, you're like, yeah, bro.
That place across the street from the studio now that's a gourmet weed restaurant? Who was the one? It wasn't you, Joe. We were on one time with a producer. Was it Jacob?
Jacob Lassiter.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I've been there. I was like, well, dude, they opened like two days ago. Jeez.
It's just like, bro, is that an ad?
Yeah, he was pretty excited.
A jar of gummy bears is another one.
Yeah, I'll just keep it. I guess I won't. Eat much of them, but I'll keep it.
Yeah, so you do the. But the
I'm very anti-wasting food, so I would keep them and eat them.
Ugg boots are on here. Ugg boots.
Are they Tom Brady's Ugg boots?
They're Ugg boots.
So if they're Tom Brady's, I'll keep them. Otherwise, I'm returning them.
One of them also on here is your prom date.
I would keep that one because my prom date is now my wife.
So you married your prom date.
I would kind of have to keep that one.
So here's what's crazy. My prom date, we are still in contact, but she is like she's like the number three person at one of the top five banks in the country. Like in terms of like the big name, I'm not going to say the name of the bank, but she's like a top three or four person. Like she,
AJ Lyons now sponsored by.
Like, well, if we did like that's the crazy. Can I say I don't even want to give a hint who it is.
Don't even give a hint.
Yeah, because you know, but yeah. So my prom date is like the number three. I think they're like in charge of like all of consumer lending for the entire bank. No, worldwide.
They were not responsible for the 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah, I should have asked. Maybe you should pay for my date. Maybe you should pay for this prom date if this is where your future is heading. So Cool Water Cologne was another one on this list.
Yeah, what's up with guys? I saw this on Twitter the other day, and I think it's a good point. How come when girls get perfume or shampoo, whatever, it has like real scents, like you know, lavender or orange or whatever, and guys' stuff just is like cool water? Like, what is cool water? What is that? What's cool wash?
I would just think it's just just turning on the sink. You know, like that. Does it smell like that?
There's like colognes. It's like action scent. What the hell does action scent smell like? I don't like women get things that it actually has a smell. What's cool rush?
You know what really messed it up for guys is when guys went absolutely ape with what is that called? Axe body spray.
Oh, yeah.
When it started to become like your soap, when guys started using it, the spray as their soap, so it was like there was this bad masking behind it. So, but somebody's like,
smells like a middle school locker room.
Yeah, so I used to be a cologne guy, and then that stuff started bothering me. And so, like, when
Tom
I see
Chris Foley just walked in, smells like Axe body spray from that.
Is it like what is that? Cinnamon incensive and intense.
Yeah, but at least cinnamon, like, you know what that is. I know what cinnamon is. I don't know what some of these other stupid scents are.
Yeah, so that was just some of our keeper return list that we gave it to, some of it to Mike and Wenyu yesterday.
He was a good sport about that.
Yeah, he was really good. You heard the smile through it. Like, if you missed that, interview, that was a surprise good interview, because I guess behind the scenes, we didn't know which player we were going to get, nor did we know what time they were coming. And if you listen to the KJ and Lions, there is kind of a method and a madness to the show, why things happen when they happen. So while it's prepared, it's not over-prepared, but that's one of those things, like, it's like, hey, at any moment they'll be showing up, and it's like, oh, it's this person. So that was a lot of fun talking with Mike and Wenyu. I think we got a lot of insight from him yesterday on Patriots Thursday before Friday. We're here for Patriots Monday during this time, so it'd be fascinating who we talk to about Saturday's game here on WEEI. All right, KJ and Lyons in for Jones and Keefe. We continue next with the Red Sox talk here on WEEI. Happy holidays.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.